Shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Thank you, ladies. One of my favorites part in that song is in the chorus, and it talks about, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. I love that. All the stuff that's going on, it'll all dim out because the light of Jesus. I love that song. One of my favorite songs, and I appreciate you ladies singing that. Before Brother Pringle comes to preach to us, I just wanted to tell you just a little bit about him. Once again, it's so good to have him here. I think I heard, if I remember right, he was here, I think, for a banquet or something one time. So it was good to see him then. It's been already good to see him again. He is a, and this is in the bulletin, but he's a native of Ash Grove, Missouri. He went to Baptist Bible College there in Springfield in 1979. He became an assistant pastor for a couple of churches, one in Salisbury, Maryland for 7 years, and then one in Ottumwa, Iowa for 4 years. He then became the pastor down at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Cape Girardeau, which is where I believe he's living now, he and his wife. Miss Patsy was going to come with him today, but she's recovering from her surgery and just didn't feel like she could make that trip. So we'll be praying for her, and she'll be missed. But it's good to have him here. Looking forward to seeing what he's going to be bringing to us today. We know he's been praying about it. And as always, we're so thankful that Pastor can call on good men to come preach to us. So, Brother Pringle, go ahead and come preach.
Thank you, Brother Scott. Well, it's a privilege to be back, and I do want to say that I appreciate the pastor for allowing us to come back and be with you, and to have a pastor, it takes time to pray and to seek direction and so on. It's the first Sunday of the new year, but I'm here, and now I'm questioning about what he's praying about, aren't you? But anyway, I am thrilled that he asked us to come. I knew what kind of church this was. That's a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And I knew the kind of church I was going to come to because I know Brother Merrick, and I know some about his preaching, the expository preaching, and his love for the Lord, his love for his people, and I'm just glad that I can be asked to come and not take his place, just to fill a place where he wants me to fill for him, and I'm glad to be his servant today, and I'm glad for Brother Merritt and Elaine, and I pray for a lot of preachers and so on, and they don't know this, but I pray for them on a regular basis during the week and so on and so forth. I never know what's going on up here. I don't have to know what's going on up here. I know somebody does know what's going on up here. And so that's all that matters. So, and I pray for several different preachers and so on, and I'm glad to be back here and next to Whiteman Air Force Base, where I hope a jet airplane doesn't take off, because if it does, it'll probably scare me to death. But anyway... but anyhow, we are glad to be here, and we want to say thank you for the room that you provided for us and so on, and what a comfortable room. Everything, extra even things that I don't need and so on. Men don't need a lot of things women need, so I had everything that I needed, amen? But Patsy would have had more than she needed if she had come. She's recovering from a left hip complete replacement and so on and so forth. And one of these days I told her, I said, if we keep having to replace things, I don't know if I'm going to get in bed with you or get in the chair where you put the things, you know. But anyway, but we've been together 55 years, and sometimes people say, how did you stay together so long? I said, well, the love that binds us is stronger than the differences that divide us. Right. And so we just, I think Henry Ford said, I just stuck with the same model. Yeah. And so anyhow, that's just kind of what we've done, and I sometimes say this, she don't like it. I said, where's the country that I met her in the cornfield and kissed her behind the ears? But anyway, she don't like me say that. She's not here, I'll say what I want to, amen. But anyway. But it is a privilege to be here, and truly, I appreciate the room and all the amenities and the basket. My conscience alive, I told Brother Scott I was going to have to rent a wheelbarrow to take it to the car. I never seen so much stuff in one basket in my life. And my wife has already informed me, don't eat all of it. And I said, man, there ain't no way I could eat all of it. You know, I'd never get to the church service if I eat all this. But anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you. That just shows the honoring of your people to the men of God. And I'm not saying I'm a man of God, but I'm just saying that you are honoring that. And we appreciate that so very, very much, and thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And for some of you that was here when Pastor Abels was here and so on, he sends his regards up. I asked him on Wednesday night, I said, you got any message you want to send? He said, just send my regards. I realize that I believe Brother Merrick's been here about 18 years, something like that. And I realized that I was in Cape for 22, and I live near Springfield now. I don't live in Cape. They run me out of town after I resigned. But anyway, we live in Springfield now. But nevertheless, I know that some come and go, and we're glad for the ones that have to go sometimes, whenever that's what God wants for their life, but we're glad for new ones that come. Amen? And so, and I know all of you don't maybe know Brother Abels, unless he's been up here to preach, and I'm sure he has, but anyway, he sends his regards. So we're glad to be here, and if you will, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1. And as you stand, as whenever I announced the text. One time I was introduced in a church, only one church I've ever had this happen. It was a rather large church down in Walls, Mississippi. And they had a college down there, Tri-State Baptist College, so on and so forth. But anyway, I got up and they introduced me with all the accolades and so on and so forth. And I didn't know who they was introducing whenever it got on. But anyway, I got up there, and as I got up there, they stood and then they began to pound on their Bibles and say, preach, 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 preach. They said they love preaching. And so anyway, well, like scared me to death. I didn't know what to say next. And so I had them to open their Bibles so they quit pounding on it. So anyway, but we're glad you stand out of the respect. The most precious book in the whole world. About a God that loves us more than anyone's ever loved us. Done more for us than anybody's ever done us. And we're going to talk about him this morning. And this first day of the year, I don't know that I've prepared the message for the first day of the year, but I'm just saying that when we think of the virgin birth and all that and what have you, when you've got a prophesied Savior, you've got a produced Savior, you've got a proclaimed Savior, you've got a pardoning Savior, you've got a perfect Savior, you've got a pure proven Savior, you've got a promising Savior that He's going to come again, you've got a pretty good Savior, and if you know Him, you'd need to sing joy to the world a little better. Yeah. Hello! Because I'm telling you, if you know the Savior, you know how to get out of this world alive. But if you don't know the Savior, that's not even my message this morning. But anyway, if you don't know the Savior and you're here this morning, let me say this to you. Please don't leave this place. Not because of me. No. But because of what Christ has done, don't leave this place. Without taking him as your Savior. And don't leave this place without attempting, at least, to serve him better for what he's done for you and me. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. Luke writing, of course, Luke wrote the gospel and he's writing this. Of all that Jesus began to both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. I'm sure glad, Lord, you put it in print so we could have it. Lord, if we didn't have the Word of God, we'd be of all men most miserable. Because you put in with us the knowledge of good and evil and so on as a result of the garden. And Lord, we'd know that we as sinners wouldn't know what to do about it if you didn't give us your Word. And we're glad for preachers and Sunday school teachers and children's church workers and nursery workers and teenage teachers and workers and so on, Lord. We thank you for each one that have dedicated themselves to do their responsibility here in the local church. And Lord, to pick up children, whatever the responsibility is, work in the nursery, whatever the responsibility is, Lord, we're glad for each one that's involved. And Lord, we can be involved somewhere in this church's ministries. And so, Lord, I pray that for each one that's involved, you'll bless them today. We're thankful for each one that's here. Lord, we don't have any idea who the visitors are. We're a visitor. So, Lord, we just pray that we'll all just have a good fellowship around the Word of God and the things of God. And Lord, as we try to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ a little while here this morning, I pray, dear Lord, we'll take him with us in a new fresh anointing in our own lives as well as everyone that hears the message this morning. And Lord, we pray that you'd be his pastor today, and God, we love him and Aline, and we pray that you'd be with him. What we're speaking about today clearly says what's about his heart today too. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll be with him and give him the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that he stands in need of. That's where this church is supposed to go in the coming years, kind of a thrust, kind of a igniting thing, kind of things he can get enthused about. And may thy will be done. And Lord, may each one follow through with a challenge. If there's those here today that are lost, may today be the day they find Jesus sweet to their soul. For the saints that are here today, may we be encouraged to fight on till Jesus comes, and we'll be careful to praise you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Thank you for standing with us, and you may be seated. A man's truck ran off into the ditch, and the man went to a farmer and asked, "Do you have a tractor to pull my truck from the ditch?" And the farmer says, "No, but I have a mule." And the man said, "Well, I doubt if the mule can pull my truck from the ditch." And the farmer said, "Well, you don't know Blue." So the farmer hooked Blue to the truck and yelled, "Pull, Blue," and the truck didn't move. Farmer yelled, "Pull, Elmer," and the truck moved a little bit. Then the farmer yelled, "Pull, Biscuit," and the truck come right out of the ditch. And the man asked, "Why did you call your mule by three different names?" And the farmer said, "Blue is blind. If he thought he was the only one doing the pulling, you'd still be in the ditch." Now, by that little humor illustration, I want to say it takes all of you pulling to keep people out of the ditch. Amen. Remember, when we are pulling together, it is hard to kick and complain because we cannot pull and kick at the same time. And many of us can be found pulling in various responsibilities in the church and be faithful, serving and inviting others so we will stay out of the ditches of life and help others to stay out of the ditches too. You see, you can't do two things at the same time. You can't do evil and good. If you're busy doing good, then the evil's not there. You say, that's pretty simple. I know I'm pretty simple, you know. But I'm just saying that, you see, sometimes we're blind, and I'm saying by that right now, in a sense, and I didn't know anything about this till this morning, but to some extent, the pastor is spiritually blind. He's asking for God to give him sight. The father tried to give the Israelites sight in the Old Testament. They didn't follow too well. The disciples tried to give them sight in the New Testament, and when it came to the end, they all forsook him. So then he sent the Holy Spirit to us, and not only did he send it to us, he put it in us. Hello. Hello. Now, you see, we don't have no excuse. Okay? We just don't have any. Okay? And they, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, wasn't blind what they was doing, and the farmer wasn't blind about Blue. They all know what they're doing. It's this, what are we going to do with them? Okay? And Jesus here in this passage of Scripture, there's a phrase here that I want us to get a hold of today because I think it's so very very important. And it's a phrase that I hadn't seen for many, many years. And how many of you that read your Bible on a regular occasion sometimes read it and say, well, I never saw that before, you know? Yeah. Well, sometimes we run onto them things. They're all good, though. Yeah. And so here, there's a phrase that says, to whom also he, Jesus, showed himself alive. Now, I want to stop right there. Now, my people used to say, now, preacher, whenever you stop often, you preach longer. Well, I try not to stop too often. But anyway. But here, I want you to notice this here for a minute, though. He said, but he showed himself alive. If you was to turn back to Mark chapter 16, you'll see that Mary Magdalene went and seen Jesus first, and she went back and told the disciples, and then two of the rode on the road to Emmaus, seen him, and then they went back and told, and so on. And all the time, the disciples didn't believe. By the way, there's some sitting here probably don't believe God the way we ought to. You know, God, I believe, but help thou my... Now, I don't know which one balances out for you, but I still got some of that unstuff. Hello? And so here he says he showed himself alive. I said alive! He just a few days before that was dead in a horrible condition. And nobody had ever raised from the dead before. So, well, we're from Missouri and we have to be showed, but sometimes we've got to be showed more than once. Hello? We can identify with the disciples, can we not? Yeah, we need to be showed more than once. And so he showed himself alive. I've got to go on. And he said, and after his passion, that's where I want to talk about today. After his passion. Now there's a difference between love and passion. Okay? I know you, many of you may work around the base and so on, and things that has to do with the base and so on. One of our grandsons just went in the military Wednesday. He's in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. I don't wish any bad on him, but I've been in the military. But anyway, and he's going to get awakening like he's never had before, but that won't hurt him any. But anyway, but my point is that when he left home, and I wasn't there, but when he left home, I'm sure him and his wife, he's got two sons, one of them just born back in October, out of our 17 great-grandchildren. We don't brag on them any longer. But anyway, he always wanted to go in the military. His dad said, you got that kind of reversed, didn't you? You ought to got out of school, went to the military, so on, then got married and had two kids. But anyway, he went to the military. And I'm sure the day that he went in the military that his wife and they love each other. Hello. But I'm sure there's a different passion. Hello. Kind of do it on a personal basis. One time Patsy was coming back, our daughter and her husband lived in northeast Missouri in Cahokia, Missouri, and as they lived there and so on, she was coming home after she had been up there to visit. We lived in Cape Girardeau and pastoring at the time, and I was out visiting and so on, and she was coming through St. Louis, Missouri, and that's when the cell phones, God's blessing on cell phones, but cell phones ever first comes out, and anyway, she was talking to me on the phone. And she said, I'm coming through St. Louis. I said, you doing all right? Yeah, I'm doing all right. And about that time, the tires start squalling, and the phone goes dead. And I'm driving back into Cape from being on a visit, and I just pulled over to the highway, and I began to weep and ask God. I need her. She's my completer. I don't know how well I could go on without her. So, Lord, I need to hear from her real soon. You say, what are you saying, Brother Pringle? I'm saying, I love my wife, but my passion for my wife went up considerably. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Oh, my. I said, Lord, I got to hear from her. I just drove straight home. I couldn't visit nobody. I didn't have my mind on anything else. I just wanted to know if she was all right. And I prayed after I prayed, and I pulled back on the highway and drove home and so on. It took about 5 minutes to get there when it usually takes 20. But anyway, I got there in a little minute, you know. And so we got there, and it wasn't long till the phone rang. Now, it took me a while to answer the phone. No, it didn't take me a while to answer the phone. And I answered the phone before it even stopped ringing the first time. And she said, honey, I'm all right, I'm all right. Now, let me say that God And by the way, she was all right. The car's a little damaged, but you can replace things about a car. That's just a car thing. But my point is this. The Bible says here, and it's not a phrase used often of the Lord, although we know that he humbled himself and all that. We understand that. But it says after his passion. And pastors have passion because Christ is interested in, according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. By the way, there is no seed that God ever gave that you just get one thing back as to what you plant. He always gets abundance. I thank God on, I like corn on the cob, and I'm glad that I just don't put in two kernels and get two kernels back. I always get an abundance. Amen. Same way with green beans and whatever else you want to say. Okay. In other words, God always multiplies everything. So what's happened to seed, what's happened to the seed he's planted in us? Because you see, there's a lot of people who's never won one soul to Christ. And God's in the transferring business. Okay? He's in the transformation business. He transformed me from lost to saved. Okay? A lot of other things I can say about that, but I gotta go on. Thank God it was he that transformed me, because I couldn't do anything for myself. And by the way, if you're lost here today, I don't care what you try, until you go through the blood of Jesus Christ for your sins, you're not going in.
Right.
And I don't say that to be dogmatic. I just say it to be right with the scripture. Because that's what the word of God says. Okay? If there's any other way, I'd tell you that way. There is no other way. There really isn't. But thank God there's one way. And so, what I'm saying is, your pastor is praying that some things would happen, that you and him and the church and all that would be transformed to a new exaltation of the name and the person of Jesus Christ. Man, oh man, come every time. How many of you came today expecting somebody that you invited to come in and sit down in the pew? Well, the law of expectation, if you're doing anything, you ought to have some expectation. Somebody would come if you invited them. If you're inviting anybody, you ought to have an expectation. If you prayed for them, they'll come. Are you? Do you have that expectation? We should. By the way, he planted a seed. Because, you see, you and I are born again. Yeah. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not the temple of the evil spirit. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying more in my introduction per se, and I ought to, so let me move on. I'm just saying that it's the desire of the pastor that you be transformed into a better person, not by him, but what you allow God to do in your life. Okay. I can't transform you. He can't transform you. But he knows somebody that can if you will. And so God's in the transforming business. I'm glad I ain't what I used to be. I may not be what I ought to be, but I'm sure not what I was before I was what I is. Amen. But after his passion. Sunday school teachers teach so that children and juniors and teenagers and singles and married and so on, they teach and prepare so there's a transformation. You just don't come to say, well, I taught another lesson this Sunday. No. You ain't got more to it than that. Sit down. Let somebody else teach. Excuse me. Did I say something wrong? No, we got a passion. We think about, we pray for them people that are in their homes during the week. We have a passion for them that God would do something for them. We have a passion. Now, that passion needs to be transferred to everybody in the entire church. Now, there's a difference between love and compassion. Now, we can sometimes sit next to a person, per se, that's been in a car accident, has some fatal disease, has cancer, a stroke, or whatever, and there's nothing we can do except just depend on what the doctors say, but we have a love for them. We have a passion for them to get well. But it's different than a love. It's a passion. And I sometimes don't think, maybe we think this often enough, and I think it behooves us to do this quite often, and that is, you see, I think that some of our children today are not called into the ministry, and they don't come to church on a regular basis, and they don't see the dedication and devotion and so on, because those actions and those passions, if you will, are not happening in the home. We've got too many things going on in the home. We watch the TV. We watch this channel. We watch that channel. We have the iPhones. We got this. We've got that. And I'm telling you, dear friend, there is a famine in the land of the Word of God and the God of the Word in our homes today. And if you don't model it, it will not be there nor practiced in the next generation. There's got to be a passion. And Christ wants that passion transferred. You remember, I think Paul's writer of Hebrews, and he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's not some in between that author and finisher. He is the author and the finisher. Okay. And the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, he knew the outcome. And many times it's not what you're going through in life. David said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Okay? It's not what you're going through, it's what you're going to that's important. You may have to suffer through some things, but you better have a goal to say, why am I suffering through these things? You may knock on somebody's door and they may slam the door in your face. I always said when I made the devil mad, I was glad. Hello. Keep on going. But here's what I want to share with you this morning. And that's this. And I hope we get the picture and so on. And that's this. You see, he said here in this verse, after his passion. You ever ask yourself the question, why did Jesus go through what he went through for me? Now, I can't go into every detail, but you know he was betrayed by someone that walked with him for 3 years. And he knew he was going to betray him when he started. I mean, he knew he was a devil. Okay. But you say, well, how could he saw Jesus, heard him teach the parables and do the miracles and not believe? Well, as Brother Scott said a while ago, many people were looking for him to establish his kingdom. And when they were coming into Jerusalem, you remember that, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they chopped the limbs down, laid them down. And, oh, everybody's excited. And 7 days later, they killed him. And too many of us live a life that says, God, if you don't do it in my way, you can get out. But what about his passion that he wants to transfer to us? Because you see, when he was betrayed, he didn't change his course. When he is denied, when he's arrested and so on, if you'll remember when Judas walked up to him, gave him a kiss, you know, and so on, I ain't got time to go into all that story, but when he did, Jesus called him friend. In other words, Jesus said, hey, I still got the door open for you. You devil, you. No, he might not have said that, but anyway. He did say that, but anyway, not maybe at that time. But anyway, the point is that he gave him the door that was open. He had a passion of a man that had walked with him and heard what he had preached and saw the miracles that he had done that no man could
ever do. And yet he betrayed him. And then he had false trials. Some of them of a night and so on and so forth. And this place, this false trials. But he had a passion. He had false witnesses that couldn't even agree with each other. They lied about him. How do you like people lie about you? You go to court and you're trying to get justice and people lying about you? I know he did it. I saw him do it. You don't even know who the person is. That's pretty tough. But he didn't turn his back on his goal to be the author and the finisher. His beard was plucked. They spit in his face. I used to minister to law officers, and they said that it gets pretty hard when people spit in your face. Cough up stuff and spit it on you. The Savior of the world is getting spit upon. And his passion says, you're not changing my mind. And they buffeted him. And they scourged him, the scourge with cat of nine tails and so on, which actually tears the hide and not cut it. Some of the bones and stones and so on in the end of the flagrant whip, if you will, please. Sometimes when they hit them hard enough, that bruises them and discreet's ready for the next one to cut it. But there's a difference between a box knife cut and a paper cut. A box knife cut, you can get cut by a box knife, you know, you can almost spit on it, seal it together, and it'll heal back pretty good. Nice, clean cut. You tear that same cut with a piece of paper, and you say, ouch, for about a week. You know the difference? One of them cuts clean and straight, and the other one tears. And that cat of nine tails was designed to tear flesh, not just cut flesh. Cruelty. My Savior had passion on me, kept his mind on his goal. Then they put a robe on him and left it on him for 3 hours. What does blood usually dry to do to a fabric? It dries to it after about 3 hours. They put a crown of thorns on his head and took a reed and beat it down like a hat band tight. A medical doctor one time said there wasn't a nerve in the body, but what, there are five different nerves, if I understand correctly, and all of them had the attention of this torture. After 3 hours, they ripped the robe off of him, slammed him down on an old rugged tree, and began to drive 3 nails. Now, I don't know about you. I've got a little injury here. It don't amount to nothing. But when I take the Band-Aid off, it reveals something you don't want to see. But anyway, the point is that it hurts. But they took the robe off of his back and then slung him down on a raw, rugged piece of timber. And they hung him up, dropped the cross in a hole. The bottom of it was stone. And as it pulled, he said, I have a passion. I've got something greater than my love. I've got a passion for every person in the whole world, red, yellow, black and white, Muslim, Catholic, whatever you are. Tattoos, earrings, clothes on, clothes off. No, hey, I'm dying. Because I've got a passion for sinners. Can I ask you a question? Why? Why would anybody have that kind of passion for you and for me? Why? There's only one reason, friend.
Because he created a place for the devil and his angels. That's who he created it for. He didn't create it for man. And yet Isaiah says he had to enlarge it. But let me tell you something, dear friend, this morning. If you're saved, then think of a lost one. If you're here and you're not saved, think of yourself. Because God created a place for the devil and his angels, a place called hell. And he knows better than anybody how horrible that place is. And his passion was to be on the cross. And to be treated this way by mankind, by the one that he wanted to save. You say, preacher, God wants to transfer some of that, does he not? Yes. I know February is coming up. One of the greatest definitions of prayer that I've ever heard was an unselfish, self-sacrificing desire to meet the needs of a cherished person. That's what you call thinking of others. Let me read it one more time. An unselfish, self-sacrificing desire to meet the needs of a cherished person. When Patsy Starr squalled, I had a great desire. Nothing. That desire was for one. It doesn't even get close. Hello. To the passion that Jesus Christ had. Now, we got to wrap this up. So, can I just say that I'm sure glad that we can sing the song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole in his eyes? Again, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Oh, precious is the flow that washes me. And you, white as snow in his sight. God never outpromises himself. In Psalm 126, 5 and 6, some of you may know it by memory. "He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bring his sheaves with him." How many of you know that it takes sunshine and rain to make natural seeds grow? Yeah. And if you don't have sunshine and rain, then you've got famine in the land. Okay, Amos 8:11 says there'll be a famine in the land, and the famine will be not only of water and of food, but of the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. So let's be political correct, and let's take it out of our schools, and let's take it out of the courtrooms, let's take it out of everything we can take it out of, because that's the thing to do. Even though we're filling up our jails and so on and so forth, and our detention centers, and our people are going crazy, getting more suicide, more of them are on drugs, but it works. No, it don't work! And you've been admonished already today to get a Bible reading schedule and get with it, both in your Sunday school and Brother Scott. And there's a reading deal back there. We're going to be destroyed by the lack of the knowledge of God. And we're not going to be able to say, listen now, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." Now, if the rain comes down, the sun comes down, and the seed that is planted sprouts up, I think it's Psalms chapter 6 and verse 9. It has a phrase there that about in verse 9, the last phrase I think of that chapter says, the voice of weeping. Now you mothers know this, but listen to me very carefully. When you can hear your baby in the bedroom and he's a-gooing and so on and kicking around in there and knocking things around and so on, and he's a-giggling and a-laughing and so on, everything's fine. And he's not saying a word because he's not old enough to say a word. But you know everything's fine. You let it get quiet just a little bit, though, and you haven't heard anything lately. And that baby squalls. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? I thought so. Then God hears the voice of mourning as well, or the voice of weeping. Can I ask ourselves, all of ourselves, including this one standing here, is God hearing the voice of weeping about also? Or have we just come to the conclusion, I don't care if they all go to hell. Well, there's somebody that wanted to transfer his passion to us that cared and said, no, I don't want anybody to go to that place. So this morning, can I ask you the question? What are we going to do about it? Because you see, the truth of the matter is, God promised, he that soweth in tears shall reap. Does that sound like a promise to you? Enjoy. Did I start the message saying when somebody walks down the aisle and your expectation, somebody comes in, sits down in the pew, you're excited about it because they come. But if they get up out of that pew and come to the altar and get saved, now you talk about being Baptist if you want to, that'll get you excited about something. Yeah, I mean, if they're having a party in heaven about it, we ought to have one right here on earth about it. Hello. But is that what we expect on Sunday morning when we come to church? And if it's not, why don't we? I just put out a challenge. I don't know what the pastor's praying about, and you do what the pastor tells you. Amen? Amen? Absolutely. But to some of you, it's not reached one. Can I challenge you, does each one reach one? Let me ask you this. You say, well, I don't know if I could. I've never reached one, preacher. I just don't know if I could reach one or not. Whoa! He that goeth forth weeping beareth praying seed. Okay? We have not because we ask not. And sometimes we get answers to our prayers that say yes, and sometimes no, and we say wait. You know why the wait is? Because sometimes God is trying to change the prayer of the prayer. Hello. Oh, by the way, you know who that is? I know who it is. It's me. Yeah, it's me. An old song said, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And unless they repent, repentance, oh well, let's not talk about that. I mean, that means I'd have to change my mind. Well, if you change your mind, you'll change your ways. You do need to change your ways. And by the way, that goes for the Christian as well as the sinner. Repentance is a continual thing. But anyway, that's another subject. But can I just say this morning, and I got to quit. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? He still rose from the dead after his passion. Hallelujah! Just for you and just for me to go in that place that was talked about in our Sunday school class called heaven. You say, what's heaven going to be like? I don't care. I'm just going to be there. You don't have to explain to me about nothing.
I tell you what, if God created in 6 days and made it all continually exist and be sustained for the lost and the unsaved as well as the saved and so on, and it's still going on like it did then, if he made it perfect in 6 days and he's been working on it all the time he's been up there, I think it'd be all right. Yeah. What's our passion this morning? Jesus wants some transformation in these last days. They really are last days. Read the magazine the other day and it says artificial intelligence is more of a danger to world security than terrorism. If you don't know what artificial intelligence is, may I encourage you to get on your web, or get on your internet and look it up. It's artificial intelligence. The word Sophia, a robot and so on, has been given citizenship in Saudi Arabia. Do you know that the people that are operating these things in artificial intelligence has already asked for a 501(c) exemption? Because they know that one day it'll be a god. Do you realize the word Sophia in Matthew 12:42 is a Greek word for wisdom? And the devil imitates everything that God has. You say, what are you saying, Brother Pringle? Well, I'm saying, listen. If we're ever going to get a passion, we better start today, the very first Sunday of the new year. Could be the best year of everybody's life because we reap a crop. Not of onions and garlic and And something even more important than roast ears. Hello. But the souls of men. Wow. And I'll tell you, if you've ever led one to the Lord, it's better than winning a football game in the last minutes of the game. When you walk down the aisle and you take them out of the hand of the devil, put them in the hand of the Lord, I'm telling you, there's about a running time going on. If you want to know some of that, we're all, and you are going to have to extend just a little more weeping passion. Let's all stand.